this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It really is good to have morning services again. For a long while we didn't, and I don't know if anyone else like me got a little bit lazy on Sunday mornings. We used to have morning services for a long time in Pretoria, and then we just felt God saying just to shift them up a little bit, which meant Sunday mornings was like a lot slop, ochend, or sort of, depending on the little one. But, you know, it was a lazy morning. Then we started doing foundations on Sunday mornings, so like once or twice a month I'd get up early. But then I got clever and I scheduled my sessions like later on in the morning, so I didn't have to be there that early. But it's so great just being here early morning again, just worshiping the Lord. And as we sing, thanks so much, Sean. As we sing earlier as well, just one day in His courts. Imagine what it's like, one eternity in His courts. You know, I don't know if we're going to sleep or if we're going to wake up in heaven. One thing I know, we're not going to surf because there's no sea in heaven. I remember when I was at varsity, a friend of mine read that verse and he was like in depro for about 2 weeks when he realized that he's not going to be able to surf in heaven, because in his mind, heaven was just eternal surfing. But I don't know if we're going to sleep or if we're going to wake up. But I so just enjoy days like today where almost the whole day we can spend in His courts. We can wake up and we can, for those of you who've been here since early morning setting up, and tonight late after we're done and Pretoria finished leave, and almost go to bed, and it's just a day about the purposes of Jesus Christ. And I think that that has to be not just for a pastor but for everybody. I remember even when I wasn't a pastor, just so special Sunday, you know, a day consecrated and celebrated to the purposes of God. Not that any other day isn't, but it's almost as if we take this day out from morning to evening and we say, God, let Your kingdom come in my life and through my life and everything I do today. I want to just see quickly by a show of hands here, who has been serving the Lord for more than 1 year as we sit here this morning? Almost all of us, more than 5 years, more than 10 years, wow, more than 20 years, anybody? A couple, praise the Lord. That's really cool. Who's been serving the Lord for less than 1 year? Is there anyone here that's a young Christian? Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with our demographic this morning, but my prayer is that that will significantly change going forward. That when we come together and we ask questions like that, we'll have young Christians in our midst all the time. People who just recently, last week or yesterday or last month, came to know Christ. And that's one of the reasons why we're having, for those of you who missed the service last month and said, Jerry, one of the reasons that we are having services here is not because it's more comfortable. Maybe for some of you who stay close, it is a little bit more comfortable, but you're going to realize very quickly it's not more comfortable because you're going to be here early to set up and it's more work, and it's much easier just to drive 20 minutes to Brooklyn or Hatfield or whatever that is, and sit in a service and drive 20 minutes back, then have to do all the hard work around making church happen. But at the same time, we want to be here because we trust God to be able to reach more people by our being here. We want to trust God that souls will get saved, that disciples will be made, because we have services in Centurion. And as Sean said, we're upping it a little bit last month, and this month it was one service. From next month, we're having, I think it was the 8th of, what month are we then? April. The 8th of April, Easter morning, we'll be having a service here. So that's a great opportunity to invite friends and family. And just, I want to say just now, if it's a little bit boomy and echoey at the back, I know the acoustics in here isn't so good. There's plenty of space in the front. So, can you goed hoor achter? Damien, your ears are better than Mia's. But if you guys want to, there's plenty of space in the front. You're welcome to move forward. I know the acoustics in here aren't quite suited to what we want to do. So in April the 8th and the 22nd we'll be having a service, and I think it's the 6th of May and the 27th of May again, and then we'll probably step it up after that, but at least twice a month now we're going to be having services here. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about the opportunity to bring new people into a relationship with Jesus, and for us who are in relationship with Jesus, to continue to grow in relationship with Him. And I don't know if you're like me and you've ever asked yourself a question, but what does that mean? What does it mean to grow in relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to love Him more, to know Him more? And I think often, and we walk into Christian bookshops today, and from the pulpit, unfortunately, from time to time we hear it, that it becomes this incredibly complicated thing to serve Jesus. At the beginning, we come to Christ, and all the pastor says, all you have to do is just surrender to Him. That's all. Just give your life to Him. And then, are there any computer people here, like understand and know computers? Like one or two. So you guys will get understand this analogy. The rest are completely going to miss this. But we become a little bit like Windows machines. As time goes on, we get more and more junk in our system, and we get slower and slower, and there's a whole bunch more rubbish until from time to time, our owner decides you need a good format. And wipe out everything and reinstall, and all of a sudden everything works again. And for those of us who've been serving Christ for a long time to time, I know I've had to kind of have that format. Just those times when I come back and I ask myself the simple question, but what is this actually about? There's so much baggage and little things that I've added, little addendums and little pack, oh, I need to do this too, and to serve Jesus eventually is kind of this whole big fat book. And then from time to time to revisit and ask the question, but what does it mean to serve Jesus? What does it really mean to be following hard after Christ? Jesus comes to His disciples and He says to them, follow Me. And I believe for many of us in our lives, we've sort of heard Him say those words to us, follow Me. But what does it mean to follow Him? One of my favorite verses, Micah 6. And here we see Micah probably going through that same question, struggling through the intellectualism, struggling through the, I want to bring my bit to the table. I need to make this relationship with Christ happen. And Micah says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the High God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offering, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He's asking, what is it, what must I do to come to the Lord? What does it really take for me to follow Jesus? He's asking. And then this beautiful verse, which I think most of us know really well. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? I love reminding myself of that verse often. Because sometimes we get these stacks and stacks of books and Christian literature, and this guy's got this revelation and God's spoken to him and this is what you must do. And then you read the next book and this is what you must do to follow Christ. And then this is what you must do. And we become like these big bloated people trying to keep up 10,000 different ways of doing things to follow Christ. And then this is sort of my reset button that I need to push from time to time. That reinstall. Those times and moments where I realized that God, it was never meant to be complicated to follow You. It's not easy. And tonight I'm going to be speaking a little bit about what does this walking humbly with your God mean and entail? What does that look like? But God is pretty simple. He says, there's just a couple of things. If you want to follow Me, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Pretty simple. Stay away from everything else that bloats and drags you down and wants to intellectualize this process of knowing Christ. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. So uncomplicated and so simple, but like most of us here, we've been serving the Lord for a long time. From time to time, not so easy, especially this walking humbly part. This walking away from my pride and my contribution, walking away from this sort of humanistic worldview which wants to be prevalent in all of our Christianity more and more, that says, I am good and I must become a better me. And I understand where the authors are coming from when they write those books, but I don't know about you, but I've realized if I want to be a Christian, I mustn't become a better me, I must become a worse me. I must become less me and more Jesus. I must walk away from those things that are inherent in me, and that's what I'm going to be speaking on tonight. Because the truth is, pretty much everything inherent in me is wrong and needs to be changed. And a humanistic worldview wants to come and tell us, no, Philip, actually you're good, actually you're okay. Actually, there are some things in your life that need to be sorted out, but at the core, you're pretty good. And then we come and we begin to grow in relationship with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but the more I get to know Jesus, the more I get to know that I'm not so good. And the things that I thought were pretty good and pretty okay, I realized, no, they're not so pretty good and pretty okay. They're actually pretty shoddy and need a serious change. And I'm getting ahead of myself. That's this evening service. But what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly? Not complicated at all. You see, it was never meant to be complicated to follow Jesus. It was never meant that we have to do a 7 or 17 year degree to be able to understand what it is to follow Jesus. I love how Jesus goes to the disciples, plain platopi arda mensa, normal people. Later on in Scripture says that the Pharisees and the other educated people looked at Peter and John and the other disciples, and they said, when they perceived that these were untrained and uneducated men, they marveled and they realized they'd been with Jesus. Because Jesus didn't need highly intellectual people to be able to follow Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus holds something which challenges me so often before us, and He says, gets a whole bunch of little kids and He calls them closer and He looks at all the clever intellectual people with all their degrees and He says, unless you become like one of these, you're not going to understand what it means to follow Me. And I think a part of what He's saying there, unless you walk away from all of your cleverness and all of your plans and all of your schemes and you just embrace life in its simplicity like a child does, you're going to miss out on so much of what I have for you. You and I were designed to follow Jesus. It's meant to come naturally and flow seamlessly from who we are once we allow Jesus to recreate us on the inside. Then the difficult part is only the part meant to be when there's the part of Jesus that wants to rise up inside of us and what He's recreating and the old me that's left, when that clash comes. But that's not complicated. That's not something I need to figure out with my head. That's just a yielding in my spirit that I need to learn to surrender and to trust in Christ. In Mark chapter 12, we see a learned man, a man who's well educated, a Pharisee, come and he asks Jesus the same question that we're asking this morning. And he says, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he, that's Jesus, had answered them well. So this guy's listening and he's obviously got a pure heart. He obviously has got a whole bunch of questions inside of him. He really wants to serve Jesus. So often we think of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests as the bad people, the people who didn't want to follow Jesus. But the truth is, if we look at the Gospels, Scripture says many of them came to know Christ. Yes, many of them were stuck in their religion. Many of them were stuck in their unbelief. Many of them were stuck in their not knowingness. If I can put it that way, they're not wanting to know Christ. But Scripture says many of them came to know Jesus as well. Many of them in their religion were there really with pure hearts. And as they were in pure hearts following Jesus, they realized this is the Messiah. And I believe this is one of these men because he's listening to Jesus and he's loving the answers he hears from Jesus. From time to time, you hear them listening to the answers of Jesus, and they get difficult and they get upset and they try and trick Jesus. Here we see a man come to Jesus with a pure heart and a pure question, a real legitimate question that's on his heart. And he comes to Jesus and he asks him and he says, which is the first commandment of all? One of the ways I know this was a real genuine question, we obviously can't see the thoughts and the intent of his heart as he asks it, but in the way that Jesus answers. Scripture says so beautifully that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so often we see Jesus being so hard and so difficult with Pharisees, and at the same time so gentle and so loving with others. And that's simply this Jesus who resists the proud. And when they come to Him with proud, arrogant hearts and arrogant questions, He resists them. But when they come to Him with pure hearts and pure questions, He establishes grace towards them. And this is one of the few questions that Jesus actually answers with an answer. The vast majority of questions that got asked towards Jesus, He never answered. He just threw questions back at them and said, "You go figure this out for yourself." Or, "I know where the question is coming from and I'm not going to entertain that question, so let me just expose your heart." And He asked the question, exposing the heart, for the guy to understand that he's not really interested in the answer. He's wanting to trick Jesus. But here's one of those situations where this guy comes and he asks Jesus a question, which is the first commandment, the best, the greatest commandment. Jesus answered him and says, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. The second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth." That's a good thing to say to Jesus. "For there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that, He answered wisely. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared question Him. So often when we read this, at least in the way I've generally read this, we read the first commandment, and that's the given, and we go on to the second commandment, the new commandment. The commandment which wasn't one of the 10 commandments, which says we must love our neighbor as ourselves. That's why Jesus says, "A new commandment I've given to you." And we sort of glance over the first commandment. In the book of Matthew, Jesus words it slightly differently, and He says, "The first and great commandment is this." The question was, which is the first commandment? And Jesus comes and He says to this disciple, this Pharisee, the scribe, whatever it may have been, man who was close to the kingdom, and He says to him, "This is the first commandment." And today in the church, so often we hear that, you know, the greatest thing you and I must do towards Jesus and as Christians is we must love the people around us. And you know, that's not scriptural or biblical. The greatest thing that you and I must do as Christians is love Jesus with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. Second to that is to love people around us. And there's this pervasiveness, this humanistic thing once again, that's wanting to flow into our Christian lives, that says to love Jesus is to love His people. And there's an element, there's a strong element of truth to that. But unfortunately, we bring that in and we miss what Jesus is saying here, that first and foremost, make sure you love God. Make sure that you love and are passionate about God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit with everything inside of you. But as I read that passage once again, it pops yet another question into my mind. What is love? What is love? Take my wife sitting there as an example. When do I love my wife? Do I love my wife if we're providing for her, if we've got a nice house and there's food on the table? Do I love my wife when I hug her every day and I tell her I love her? Do I love my wife when I affirm her in her womanhood? When do I love my wife? Do I love my wife when I wake up in the morning and I've got this feeling inside? If the feeling isn't there, does it mean I don't love my wife anymore? In the same way, my daughter, when do I love my daughter? When I love my daughter, does that love look the same as the love that I have for my wife? Does it mean I do the same things, I react in the same way? Because love is this big, massive context that we push into one word and we try and encapsulate 1,000 different things with one word. Because I love my mother, I love my brother, I love my wife, I love my dog. But I don't have a dog. But if I had a dog, I probably wouldn't love him either. I'm not very much of an animal person. The same word, but meaning 4 completely different things. When do I love Lisa? Do I love Lisa when I give her everything her heart desires? When if she walks into a shop and she points at a ball, I buy that ball straight away? Because she does that. She sees balls everywhere she goes. She's got this gift. I'm going to take her with me next time I play golf. Because she can find a ball anywhere. But when am I loving her? Am I loving her when I give her a hiding? Am I loving her when I don't give her a hiding? So many questions. And then we take that same question and we bring it out to a relationship with God and we say, okay, God, when am I loving you, God? Is it this feeling I get? Is it this moment I have in worship? Is it that I wake up every morning and I spend 2 hours with you? God, when do I love you? Or maybe ask it a little bit questionly. Question a little bit differently. God, when do you experience that I love you? God, when do you see in my heart love towards you? Because at the same time, my love towards God and God's love towards me is different. I cannot love God in the way that God loves me. And God doesn't expect me to love Him in the way that He loves me. And we'll see it as we go forward now a little bit. So I figured one of the best ways probably to answer that question is to go look at the man in Scripture who probably loved God the most. Who would that be? John. Scripture, he even writes about himself that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. At the Last Supper, we see him lying on Jesus' breast. Sitting right next to him, and as we see and we read through scriptures, we find that he's the guy that probably was the closest to Jesus in Jesus' time on earth. He was the guy who was the closest in relational terms, the closest physically, the only one who didn't deny him on the cross. And now we ask ourselves this question. As a matter of fact, he's the one who, when Jesus, as the oldest son, is dying on the cross, he calls this man together and he says, John, will you look after my mom for me? Mom, will you look after this guy for me? He delegates his responsibility as firstborn in the house, not to one of his brothers, but to this man, John. So what does John teach us about loving Jesus? Is it this feeling that I get inside? Is it this abstract emotion that I have? John 14:15 from the ESV says, if you love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:21, Jesus still speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. 1 John 2, this is the same John, just writing a little bit later after Jesus has gone away and he's an old man. And he says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, that's I know God, and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 5:23, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. When we come to God the Father, it's important for us to understand this one simple thing, that in God's eyes, for us to love is to obey. Why do I say that we can't love God in the same way that He loves us? Because for God to love me is not to obey me. God's love towards me is not measured by His willingness, His eagerness, His rapidness, His responsiveness to obeying me. That is not God's love towards me. God isn't the, God help him, if that even makes sense, if God ever obeys me. God help me if I'm ever in a place where I feel God needs to obey me. But yet God comes to you and to me and He says, if you want to love, if you really love me and you want to demonstrate love towards me, this is how I experience being loved. If you obey me. A while ago we had a discussion in church, and you know, there's once again this movement of it's all about love. And the one guy got up and he said to me, but Philip, what is greater than loving? And I said, you know, in God's eyes there is something greater than love. It's called obedience. Because God doesn't call us to have coffee and tea with Him all day long. God doesn't call us, and there's nothing wrong with having amazing, intimate, quiet times. But when we walk out of the quiet time and we don't obey what God has instructed and told us in the quiet time, God doesn't experience that as love. God experiences that, I think, as pride and arrogance. God experiences that as maybe somebody who's still working out of salvation, as we all are. Obviously, it depends on why we're not obeying. If we're not obeying because we're not hearing and we're not understanding, we'll get to now. There's plenty of grace for that. But if I just say, God, I know better. God, my way is better than your way, God. God, you're confused about the situation. God, you don't have all the information. God, just give us a bit of time and then you'll come to light and you'll understand what's really going on there. God doesn't experience that as love at all. As a matter of fact, I believe that's a time when God just draws back a little bit. And He says, you know, you carry on with your religion and your beautiful times of what you think is worship and your warm-heartedness, which He loves, I'm convinced He wants us to have as well. But the core of our relationship with Christ can never be based on an experience or a song or a feeling. John illustrates so beautifully to us here that if we are to love God, there's one key that you and I need to embrace. Obedience. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to keep His commandments. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the totality of Scripture as He holds before us. And just as an aside, that's why we place so much emphasis on Bible school and foundations and being in small group and being in places where you get exposed to the Word of God so that you can be obedient to the Word of God. David writes so beautifully. He says, God, keep me from the sin of presumption. God, help me that I may never presume to know what You want, God, but that I may, is the implication, that I may hear and know what You want in every situation, that I can be obedient towards You. And I believe that is exactly what God asks from us in this time, from us as a church, from us as a family, from us as individuals. It's not sacrifice and burnt offering, not doing 1,000 busy things. Just stepping back one and saying, God, but serving You is so uncomplicated. God, all You want is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Walking humbly to a large extent simply just entails obedience. Just listening. And then John gives us an incredible word of encouragement. Just in closing, because maybe you're sitting and saying, God, I want to love You, God, but I don't know. God, what are You saying? God, how can I be obedient? God, You know my heart is so to serve You, God, but I just don't know what You're saying. And I want to encourage you with this really cool verse from John 10, verse 27. One of my favorite chapters, Jesus just speaking about a shepherd and the heart of a shepherd towards His people, and obviously the heart of Jesus towards you and me. And He says, the beginning, He sort of alludes to it and He makes a couple of statements and implications. And then later on in verse 27, He just spits it all out just so no one can miss Him whatsoever. And He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now as I was preparing, I realized that it's been very, very, very rare in my relationship with Christ that I didn't know what He was saying. There have been very few decisions that I had to take, things that I had to do, that I didn't know what Jesus was saying. There were times where it took me a couple of days just to silence my mind and figure out what Jesus was saying. That's not the hard. The hard part is not hearing what God is saying. Sometimes it's just taking half an hour, going sitting in a corner, taking a Bible and reading Scripture and saying, God, speak to me. And you know what God does in those moments? He speaks to us. Sometimes just in big decisions, just stepping back and fasting and saying, God, I just want to make sure I'm hearing your voice here. But there have been literally, if it's a handful of times in my life when I didn't know what God was saying. The trick isn't hearing His voice and knowing what He's saying. The challenge is in saying, okay, God, I trust that what You're saying is what's best. God, because everything around me is saying black and blue and purple and green and red, and Lord, You're saying white. And there are 10,000 reasons why I should be doing all of those, and I can explain it, God, and I've got a book that says this, God, and I can write a thesis that says this, and I listen to a podcast that says this. But nevertheless, God, I'll do what You're saying. And I want to encourage you here as a believer. We're going to pray with you. If you struggle to hear the voice of God, I honestly want feel God just saying that He just wants us to pray with you, just a simple prayer to unblock your ears. Because it's not meant to be complicated to follow God. Yes, it's difficult. It's hard. It's challenging because there's this continual struggle on the inside of dying to myself. God, but I so want... No, you can't. God, but... No. This dying to ourselves, which for those of us, most of us here have probably been on that road, is the most rewarding thing when we realize that God actually knows me better than I know myself. And God actually knows what I want better than I know what I want. And when God says, fill in the blank, He's not saying it to confuse me or because He wants to be spiteful. It's because whatever that thing is, He knows is actually better for me than the thing I think is best for me. But my heart must be to say, God, it's not actually about what's best for me. God, it's about what's best for You. God, even if it's not best for me, if it's best for You, then I'll go that way. And the amazing thing is God's heart towards us is always so that what's best for us is what's best for Him. What's best for Him is what's best for us. And this morning, we want to pray with some of you here. If you say, but I so desire to be obedient, I just don't hear His voice. I want to submit to you that you do hear His voice. You just don't know how to discern His voice from all the other voices you're hearing. And we're going to pray with you just that God would help you to know that still small voice, which is the voice of God. And your small groups are going to help you. And I want to encourage you, make it a regular habit to sit in front of your small group and say, I feel God is saying this. Does that sound like the God you know? You guys, you hear the voice of God too. Let's help one another hear what God is saying to us so we can grow in our relationship with Jesus. Because there's only one thing that God asks of us. Not sacrifice. Not all the fatted lambs and all the calves and everything we can find. Just obedience. From time to time, that obedience will require sacrifice. From time to time, that obedience will require God lifting us up and God promoting us. That's in God's hands. All He asks from us is to obey. And I want to say to you that as you sit here today, if you are a child of God, He says so clearly, my sheep, hear my voice. You can hear the voice. It's a promise that God has given you. It's something that you can hold on and say, God, thank You for the gift of Your voice in my life. Okay, God, now teach me to know when is it Your voice and when is it my voice. When is it Your voice and when is it my husband or my wife or my daughter or my brother's voice? God, because the only one I'm truly interested in following is Your voice. Because to love God is to obey Him. To hear His voice and then just to do. Can we stand this morning? Father, I want to thank You, God, for every one of these incredibly special people, Lord. Lord, I want to thank You, God, that I know that they're here this morning because it's their desire to follow hard after You, Lord. Lord, it's their desire to be found well pleasing to you, God. It's their desire to know you, to love you with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength. Father, I want to pray this morning in Jesus' name. God, I want to pray for every one of us for a grace to be obedient more than we've been so far, Lord. God, if we're all honest with ourselves, there have been many times we've been disobedient. There have been few times we have been obedient, and that's been awesome, God. But we choose to live lives of obedience towards you, to love you, to keep your commandments, God. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, there are three groups of people. I'm going to ask you guys just to step forward as we sing this next song. The first group, maybe you here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've heard much about Him. You've been to church often. But you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Then I'm going to ask you to just walk out to the front just now as the others come forward. We want to pray with you and introduce you to this Jesus. This Jesus whose love for you reaches from never ending to never ending. This Jesus whose plans for you go beyond your wildest dreams. This Jesus who gave His life for you. We'd love for you to meet Him and to grow in relationship with Him. And the second group is the group I mentioned just now. If you struggle to hear the voice of God, struggle to discern it, there's just so much confusion about what is God saying, what is God not saying. We're going to ask you to come forward. We're going to pray a simple prayer of faith over you and just speak clarity around the voice of God. Stillness to every other voice, and suppose more than that even, just trust God to unblock your spiritual ears to hear His voice. And the third group, if you hear and you know you struggle with this obedience thing, it's so hard for you to obey God, and it's always a wrestling, and coming to the place of yieldedness is a struggle for you. There's so much of yourself that's still standing up. And God's speaking to you today about just submitting and obeying. As Andy Stanley says, if you want to know why, just submit and comply. It's so hard for you to comply with what God is saying in your life. Then I'm going to ask you to step forward as well. We're going to pray with you. We're going to trust God just for a breaking of what in a sense is a prideful spirit. Not a, what a hard way and a rough way, but just that God, I know type of thing. Pray with you that God will bring that yieldedness and that surrender as you demonstrate your love towards Him. So Father, we thank you for this time so well spent in your presence, God. God, we thank you for what you're doing in Centurion, the joy in our hearts that we can be here in 2 weeks again, and just that we can have testimonies, God, about the obedience in our lives as we follow you, the love that we can demonstrate to you, God. God, I pray for everyone that as we depart from this place, God, that your presence, as your promise towards us is, God, does not depart from us, but your presence goes with us wherever we go, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're going to just remain and sing a couple more songs of worship. If you want to stay in God's presence, you're welcome to do that. There's coffee and tea outside. Please do join us. We'd love to chat and get to know you a little bit better. If you're visiting, especially, please, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. But so importantly, if you need prayer this morning, please come forward as we sing this next song. We'd love to pray with you. We trust God is going to do a miracle in your life. Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Sarah.
This message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.